everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Laura Sievert is here, and she just announced 2 seconds ago she has solved all of the city's problems. Maybe by the end of this 5-minute interview, she will have solved all the world's problems. We'll just see after that. But it went well last night. Your first night at the Jackson Lincoln Pool Blessing Hospital was a great partner with Arts Quincy.
That's right. You know, the whole community came out. You know, we didn't really, when you have a new event, you never know what to expect. But we had tons of people, kids making cool art projects, you know, partners from all over the community. And of course, in addition to Blessing, kind of pulling out all the stops on food and gifts for the people who attended, you know, Illinois Arts Council came through with great funding. J.W. Gardner came through with great funding, and we're able to put on a second one of these coming up in July. So if you missed this first one and you're hearing the buzz about town today, don't worry. That's just the beginning, because the second one is even better. July 6th, we're bringing in Afriki Lolo, which is a West African drum and dance troupe, and you'll hear a lot more about that in the coming month. But mark those calendars, because, boy, it was great yesterday.
It was great, and even more great things are happening. Tomorrow, there's a business after hours for all the Chamber of Commerce members. Anyone who's a member of the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce can come, and you'll get a little tour of the Underground Railroad House of Dr. Richard Eales at 415 Jersey. This business after hours is from 4:30 to 6, and Arts Quincy is one of the sponsors of this. And it's a great way to get back into networking and in-person meeting and learn a little bit about the history of Quincy, too.
Yeah, you know, we partnered with the Chamber to do this one, and we got talking about the timing of it, and it's real close to Emancipation Day, also known as Juneteenth. And we thought, you know, Quincy once played a really important role in helping enslaved people to freedom. So, you know, it was a natural fit to go to the Dr. Eales House. Plus, a lot of people haven't been through it. You know, it didn't open much last year anyhow, but a lot of people don't know about this little spot of the Underground Railroad. And, you know, it's known that Dr. Eales and his wife helped over 200 enslaved people escape to freedom, and that's pretty amazing. So we're excited to welcome everybody for Business After Hours. There will be prizes. This is a partnership between Great River Economic Development Foundation, the Chamber of Commerce, Arts Quincy, the District, and Convention Area and Visitors Bureau. I'm just thinking of the people, Bruce and Holly and myself. You know, the usual suspects,
the
as
usual
they call
suspects
them.
are involved in this, and it's going to be a great thing. The Friends of the Dr. Richard Eales House are helping along. And so, jokes, if you're a member of the Chamber of Commerce, it's a business after hours. And since these not-for-profits, you know, nobody wants to see the Chamber of Commerce office or Arts Quincy's office.
Yeah.
Who cares? So
hey,
let's have it someplace fun. Let's have it someplace fun and have it at the Dr. Richard Eales House at 415 Jersey, a chance for everybody to get to know about that.
I also want to mention that we are debuting a brand new chamber member, which is Brown Sugar Pastries, owned by Christina Dula. She is providing some of the refreshments. I am super excited. They're like mini eclairs and lemon lavender bars. I don't know. She was making some treats.
Okay, I'll be there at 4:30 on Thursday, and if you've got anything left by 4:45, it's a miracle. Let's jump ahead to the historical tour at Pleasant View Cemetery, because we don't have anybody else booked on the Mary Griffith Show to talk about that. Now, this is in Camp Point. It's a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 at Pleasant View Cemetery in Camp Point on East 2500th Street. And tell us about this. It's a walking tour, and what are we going to see?
That's right. We've got guides taking small groups of visitors through the cemetery, and of course, it is a really historic place. They're going to hear presentations, view some of the more interesting gravestones, and really just get an idea of the history of the area. The new Historical Society's only been a member of Arts Quincy for about a year now, I think. It was kind of mid-pandemic where we first heard from them. But we're so excited to welcome them into the Arts Quincy family, because Camp Point's obviously an important part of the area. The light refreshments are going to be served, and it's a free event, but of course donations are welcome to support the new Camp Point Historical Society.
Okay, so get out and get them and learn some history about the Camp Point area. And then Friday night, one of your favorite things comes back, Blues in the District.
That's right.
You'll be holding court somewhere.
I'm sure. Somebody's mixing the sangria as we speak. No, we're really excited. Blues is back. And, you know, I remember about this time last year, We actually hosted a virtual blues concert from the Washington Theater, and I was one of the very few people to actually be there and help with the logistics of that. And gosh, it's good to be back in the park. I'm in the park band too. You were mentioning park band earlier, and just every time we get to do something again, I think we get a new appreciation for it. So blues is of course back and exciting down here in the district. It starts it starts with noon blues. There'll be somebody on the park playing some noon blues over the lunch hour. But then the main event, of course, starts at 5:30 at Washington Park. 24th season. Should have been 25th, but here we are.
Here we are. Thank you, Laura Sievert. Folks, get out. Thursday night, business after hours at the Eels House. Friday night, blues in the district. Sunday afternoon, Pleasant View Cemetery historical tour in Camp Point. And for these and other great events, go to Arts Quincy Magazine, which is absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
For your summer edition. Coming up, your Gems baseball. They whooped up. The Gems were magnificent last night. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. And Brett Peters joins me as he does every Wednesday morning during the summer to talk about your Quincy Gems. And my gosh, you put a whooping on the visiting team last night. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was exciting to be at the ballpark last night. Hung 16 runs, a lot of offense on the field, and we also had a really nice outing from our starting pitcher. He went 5 1/3, and it was good to see performances on both sides of the field, and on defense and offense.
A big media night, and you also had a teacher appreciation night, so probably a big crowd at the ballpark.
Yeah, we had close to 800 last night. It was good to see all those folks out there and supporting local educators and supporting all they do for our kids and our communities, and it was nice to see those folks, and it was a good night at the ballpark.
Okay, great food, good night at the ballpark, great weather. But what have you done for us lately? What's next for your Quincy Gems?
Tonight we're on the road at Alton, and then on Thursday we come home to Quincy back again against the Hoots. The first time the Hoots have come to town since they've been in O'Fallon. You know, it was a great rivalry when they were in Hannibal, but now they're in O'Fallon. It's a little longer of a drive for them, but we're excited to have them back in Quincy, and we're excited to have a nice ball game again.
You know, it's kind of weird to just go down for one game away and come back, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of an odd thing on the schedule, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's a little different than some other leagues. We do single game series. There's not a whole lot of three game sets or anything like that, what you see in the minor leagues or the Major League Baseball. It's just because we only play 60 games. You know, when you do a three-game set, and if through 60 games, it's only 20 series, and so we try to get moving around a little bit more than
okay,
that.
Okay, fantastic. So again, everybody can come out. That would be Friday night then.
Oh, Thursday night. Thursday night we're at home, and then Friday we're away again. So, yep, Thursday night, home against the Hoots, then we're
tonight's
away.
Tonight's Wednesday, yep, away
today's
tonight,
Wednesday,
home
yep.
Thursday, away Friday.
Yep,
okay.
Away Saturday, away Sunday.
Okay.
And away, we're off on Monday and Tuesday, so...
Wow, they do deserve a good day off. So things are going great. Of course, it's up to the city of Quincy to continue to support the Gems. I think people really like it. What kind of age crowd are you getting there? I mean, I see a lot of young kids coming out to the ballpark, but there's a place for the seniors to kind of walk kind of slow and get their seat too, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. We've had quite a different range of people at the ballpark. It's been a good mix. You know, got some younger kids having a lot of fun, and then we have some families and those type of people, and they seem to have a really good time. It's a good place to enjoy a ball game with, you know, younger kids, teach them the game, that type of stuff. But we also have an older crowd, and that's nice to see those folks out there enjoying the ball game. A good place where you can come sit down, have a nice night, have a few drinks, get some food, you know, that type of thing. So it's good to see on both ends, the younger folks and the older folks.
You know, one great thing about it is, you know, you can get there early and watch the teams kind of warm up and everything, watch the grounds crew working. But you can also have dinner at the ballpark. I mean, not a sit-down dinner with candelabras and, you know, things like that, a white tablecloth, but... Because the Laughlin family from J&J Catering own the Gems, they've got the best food of any ballpark
around.
That's
right, that's right. And, you know, those barbecue nachos are my favorite, so they're a steal for sure.
Okay, so don't just steal second. Go and steal some barbecue nachos. So we're right in the heat of it. You've got a game tonight away, Thursday night at home. Then you're off and away. And so when is your next game after that? Kind of give us a, because we won't talk to you again until Wednesday.
Nope, so. Yep. So we're at home on Thursday night, then we're off again and we're away until next Thursday, the 17th, and we'll have DuPage in twice. And then on the 18th, we'll have our second Gympire night, which is against the DuPage, the Illinois Valley. They just moved Illinois Valley Pistol Shrimp. And so that'll be exciting. It'll be the office theme night, celebrating the show and those we'll have clips from the show, and we'll be wearing themed jerseys and that type of stuff, just like the last Gympire Night, and it'll be a lot of fun.
So on Gympire Night, you also auction off those jerseys, don't you?
Yeah, we do, and the Spider-Man jerseys from May 29th went really well, and so this upcoming Gympire Night, we're wearing Dwight Schrute themed jerseys from the show, and so hopefully those go well also.
Okay, well, that is fantastic. Brett Peters, always great when you stop by. Anything else we need to know about the Gems for the good of the cause? Thursday night, be there, right?
Yeah, Thursday night, be there. All our bats are in town, and the offense is roaring. We scored 29 runs in our last two games, so it's really exciting to see some productivity on that side of the ball, and we're really excited for the rest of the season.
Who is there anybody anywhere close to local playing?
Yeah, Gino D'Alessio. He's a QU guy. He plays shortstop for us. In his first three games, he had a grand slam and two other home runs, and we're really excited to see how his performance is coming around. He leads off the lineup for us, and it's really nice to have that power at the top of the order, and he's really killing the ball right now,
okay.
And it's really nice to see.
QU zone Gino, so that's our big
that's right.
That we'll root for him, okay?
That's right.
Thank you so very much. Coming up right after this break, we're going to talk to a woman who, how would you like it? You give birth to a child, and the doctor says, well, do the best you can, but he probably won't live past 13. Well, guess what? He turns 13 this week, and he's going strong. We'll talk about the trials and tribulations and joys of being a mother with a child that is just a little bit different, but not so much different than every other little boy. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD 932. And the great thing about the Mary Griffith Show is everybody has a story. And every story is different, and every story is wonderful in its own way. And Kate Doherty is here. And she has a very wonderful story to tell. We're going to confine it just to the narrow confines of her son, Elliot, because she has lots of great stories to tell. But Kate's one of those moms who, if she gets news that some people would say is bad news, she just says, I don't call that bad news. I call that an opportunity to grow and love. And that's exactly what happened when her son, Elliot, was born. So we don't have the whole, 10 hours to tell the Elliot Doherty story, but can you kind of explain why this birthday that Elliot's celebrating at number 13 is so special to your family? Because the doctors pretty much told you you won't have to worry about planning a 13th birthday party is what they said, right?
Well, pretty much. Actually, so here's, first of all, to all of Mary's listeners, thank you. She's very, very kind. I don't know that that's accurate, but we do the best we can with the hands that we're dealt. So Mr. Elliot popped out of the womb on June 8th, 13 years ago, after 16 hours of labor that I would have been the woman who died on the wagon train, Mary. Like, I tried so hard. In my head, for Mary's listeners, like, I was going to be the granola birth mother who all things, like, I had that. And I was the obnoxious pregnant lady.
Give me
the subterfuge. No, I felt great throughout the whole pregnancy. I can do all of it. I just don't do what your body, my body doesn't do what you're supposed to do when you have a baby. So, like, that baby was not coming out. So after 16 hours of labor, an emergency C-section, out popped Mr. Elliot. And he originally had an Apgar of 9.5. So we thought we were groovy. Like, we went back to the room, thought everything was fantastic. My parents come about 6 in the morning. We are holding it. So, like, the first 8 hours of Elliot's birth were, quote-unquote, totally typical. I mean, other than an emergency C. I mean, it was very typical. It was all that you would think it would be. And then my husband said, I don't think his coloring's right. And my husband is an awesome guy. He used to be a volunteer firefighter. And he goes, his color's not right, Kate. And I'm like, oh, he's fine. Because I'm exhausted. Anybody who's had a baby, you are exhausted. And I'm like, he's fine. You're being overdramatic. And so he, of course, ignores me because that's what husbands do when they're actually really concerned. And he goes out to the nurse's station and grabs a nurse and says, come look at the baby. And the nurse actually said, like, the kid's great. I just saw him. Like, he was fine 5 minutes ago. But actually, ironically, because God's always good, one of my friends from high school that I hadn't seen in years was the charge nurse, or they'd been doing the shift. And she goes, oh, Tony, I want to see the baby anyway. I'm going to go with you. And he went back, and Amy Bew, that would be you, by the way. Thank you very much. So we got to give a shout out to her. She went back, and Tony remembered from the pre-training that if they pick the baby up out of the bassinet, you're in trouble. And so Amy said, oh, okay, beautiful baby. And she picked that baby up out of the bassinet and boom, out the room she went with Tony following hot on her heels. I have no idea, Mary, at this point, anything is going down. And the next thing I know, Tony's coming running back in the room. And he goes, they don't know if it's the heart. They don't know what's going on, but something's going on and the baby's got to be flown out. To which point I responded very nicely, Mary, ha ha. And I kicked everyone out of my hospital room. Everyone, like everybody out except for the husband. Like, you're all out. Like, can't deal with this, don't know what's going on. What do you mean? The beautiful baby I just gave birth to is now on its way. And our daughter Olivia was in the room at the time, and she remembers them giving her, they gave her a picture of Elliot. And actually, she spoke about it for the first time. I never had heard this story until this year. And she said, it wasn't till later that I realized they gave me a picture of Elliot because they didn't know when I was going to see him again. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So,
or that might have been the only picture ever taken of him.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, you don't know. And, by the way, guys, I'm here to tell you, the people who come in when you have trauma and there's a baby, that flight crew, I mean, it is like a scene out of a movie, the way it's been described to me. I was in the room because, again, emergency C-section, but Tony and Olivia, my parents, like, they walk in like, Top Gun, I guess, is how they take over the entire situation. That baby's theirs. But they have a blanket, which is now framed in Elliot's room, because we were going to Cardinal Glenn, and they have the mom rub it on all over you, like your armpits, guys, you know, all your little creases that smell, anywhere that you would normally really smell, and they put it in the box that the baby goes in, so the baby has your smell right with you. And evidently, that's a really powerful thing that helps baby infants. Anyway, they fly, we drive. I'll never forget my poor father, because I was terrified my milk was going to dry up because Elliot had already been nursing. These are dumb things that you think when you're a young mom. And, well, I guess I wasn't that young. I was 34. But anyway, I'm pumped all the way to St. Louis with my father driving 110 miles per hour. I mean, which is just, it was so bad. Anyway, if you're listening to this show, like, I am one hot mess express, as is the rest of my family. But we get there, and I pull in, and we say, I'm Elliot's mom. And they get us up to the beautiful Cardinal Glenn and NICU. And here, Elliot was 7 pounds, 15 ounces. Like, he was a beautiful baby.
And for the first 7 hours of his life, normal, whatever that is, but, you know, no problems.
Exactly. And anyway, my husband had gotten up there beforehand. And, you know, God really blessed us along this journey, because when Elliot got up there and Tony was up there, the doctor said he has a hole in his heart. And Tony said, well, what? And the doctor said, and it's commonly associated with Down syndrome. And Tony said, well, what does that mean? And the doctor said, well, that means I'm going to fix the hole in his heart. He goes, and this is going to be a beautiful little baby boy, and you're going to take him home, and you're going to love him up. And if you can't do that, then I'm going to do it for you. And so, like, that was, we had a rock star doc on that one.
But who was the doctor who told you that his life expected? That comes,
well,
come
that,
later.
That comes that a little comes bit, there, okay. That comes a little bit later.
So far you're being comforted. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
You know, or at least, you know, introduced. And so, and it takes a while for the genetic test. We did not do any of the prenatal screens associated, we just didn't, because it didn't make a difference to us. And prenatal screens, for your listeners, there's nothing wrong with them. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them. But part of the reason, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, that we work for awareness to acceptance, prenatal screens can be an issue if you have really bad information and misconceptions about what having something like trisomy 21 or another genetic condition can mean for your life, because our life is infinitely more beautiful. And so we were up there. We did not know what Down syndrome was. And there, we got very lucky. So we got two lucky and one strikeout. So, you know, what is that? Two balls and one foul. Well, I don't know. I'm not a baseball guy.
You're going to get on base, yeah.
And anyway, the neonatologist, because he said, well, I think he probably does have Down syndrome. And we were confused. Cause Elliot doesn't have a lot of the markers that are associated with Down syndrome, meaning he doesn't have the palmar crease. He doesn't. There's some pieces that you would typically associate with Down syndrome that he doesn't have. Because, hey, who knew? Every individual with Down syndrome is just a very unique individual, just like you or me. And so every single person, while there are some commonalities that may or may not be there, every individual with Down syndrome doesn't have those markers. Elliot's marker that was his clue-in was the gap between his toe, which was why, if any of you are familiar with Down Country, a lot of times you'll see us use the Down syndrome footprint, because individuals with Down syndrome are born with a larger gap between their big toe and their second toe.
Okay.
And so that was one of the markers they were looking at. And anyway, so we find out we do have Down syndrome, and the doctor says anything you or I, when I ask for an explanation, may or may not have, an individual with Down syndrome may or may not have. And that made great sense to me. We just knew that there were higher propensities for things like a heart condition, which Tony's family has a lot of heart conditions. You know, vision issues, well, I'm legally blind without my contacts in. My husband wears glasses. Both of my children, or all three of our kids, wear glasses. But we obviously asked for stacks of information. And we were reading through. And we also had we did get a very bad doctor. And he had a lot of outdated information. And one of the bits of information that, as I was holding this beautiful little baby that we now knew had a medical diagnosis of Down syndrome, and I'd been assured by two doctors that he was going to be great, this third doctor walks in. And by the way, Mary, he says that he will be very lethargic. He's not going to want to move around a lot. He's probably not going to speak. The list kind of, it was like a laundry list of everything that you might humanly possibly... It was just pretty ugly. And as he walked out of the room, I looked down at this piece of paper, and it had on there, because we were going through stacks of information, and it said that Elliot's life expectancy for a child with Down syndrome would be 13 years of age. And I looked at Tony and I said, oh my goodness, because a limit like that, placed on an infant in your arms, is devastating. And yeah. To any mom out there who has had to live through or go through that, I'm here to tell you, I will forever fight to honor you and help you actualize whatever time your child has on this earth. However, one of the important lessons we learned for this is only God decides those quote-unquote limits that are on your life. And so to backtrack, I'm so glad I'm a horrible listener. I really, really am glad I'm a horrible listener, much to my father's dismay. Because if I would have listened to those people who said that Elliot would be lethargic, that he would never, that this isn't what to lower my expectations of what was possible, I would not have allowed him the opportunity to fail. I would not have allowed him the opportunity to succeed. And when I assure you, Mary, my son is many things. Lethargic is not even a word in his vocabulary.
And talkative, yes. In fact, I'm sure now that he's a teenager, you're like, do you know any other thing but back talk?
Oh, yeah. And he has 88 girlfriends, according to him. I'm very, and everyone who knows him thinks that's probably pretty accurate.
So it turned out okay, because we don't have the whole, but the bottom line is, you were given some great advice and some great support by some in the medical field, and one person kind of, you know, really led you astray. And the problem with that is, if that is the advice that you had taken, if you'd have been a younger mother, if this had been your first child, if you'd have been in a non-supportive situation, that could have kind of been a game changer, not only for you, but for that Elliot, because... that can lead to, well, I'll just put him in his little car seat and just leave him there. I mean, he's never going to amount to anything. What's the point? So this, but the open heart surgery was successful. Now, did you have to go through multiple times of that, or did one thing do it?
We were very lucky, and Elliot's AV canal was a complete repair. We check every 2 years, you know, still. But quite frankly, his heart is probably better than your heart or my heart at this point in time.
It checked all the time.
It does. And then, so Elliot has gone on, and we've been extremely blessed and extremely lucky. And we our five goals for him, which are that he would live independently, that he be employable, that he find the love of his life, that he have a relationship with God. And these goals, that they're still driving us. And knock on wood, I'm again really glad we didn't listen, because things are possible. You don't know, no one knows with a child what the possibilities are. And when we look at, we've got the Justin Moore concert coming up.
Yeah, we're
going
to talk about that after the break. But
oh, okay.
When you look about, you know, the whole idea of this down country and this Justin Moore concert is awareness to acceptance. Because I still think that there is an awful lot of, you know, people. I'm one of them, although I'm educating myself every day, who, you know, I'm 62 years old. At 22 years old, a diagnosis of Down syndrome, 40 years ago, I had definitely a stereotype of what that meant. And now, you know, I'm changing my tune because, well, for one thing, medicine is better.
Yeah. I got a sympathy card when Elliot was born. Sympathy card. Like, you know, like, we're so sorry. And I also kicked a social worker out of my room who came in and apologized to me for my son. She was a social worker. She was the person who was supposed to be there to help me. And she says, I'm so sorry. And I said, why are you sorry? She said, has no one been in to talk to you? And I said, well, yes, lots of people have been in to talk to me. And she goes, well, your son has Down syndrome. And I said, and your point is? She goes, well, that's why I'm sorry. And I said, I don't think we have anything else to talk about. You need to leave. I mean, like, no, that's not okay. I have a beautiful baby in my hands, and you're apologizing to me? Like, that's ridiculous.
And it's so limiting, like you said. And that was just within the last 13 years. So hopefully we're working to change those stereotypes, and that's why I wanted Kate to come on the show today and why we want to talk about this fabulous concert and about Down Country and about everything that Kate does. All the time to raise awareness. So first we're going to take a break. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Kate Doherty is my guest today. Her son Elliot is celebrating his 13th birthday. What, yesterday was his 13th birthday?
Yesterday.
Okay.
We are officially in teenager world.
And those of you just joining us, Elliot had a heart defect. He was born with a hole in his heart, which is, you know, people have that. He also happened to be one of the people who has Down syndrome. And there's a lot of other things about Elliot. We don't define him by the fact that he has a hole in his heart repaired or that he has Down syndrome. So this awareness to acceptance country music concert on behalf of every child put on by Down Country at the Rockin' A Arena. Justin Moore is coming on October 9th. And the Nace Brothers Band will be playing at 6:30, and Justin Moore will take the stage at 8:30, and tickets are $25. And you are truly trying to raise awareness so that people know that whether it's Down syndrome or it's whether it's something else, all of us have something. No, I have polycystic ovarian disease, but I don't. Mm-hmm. Hi, Kate. It's nice to meet you. I have polycystic ovarian disease.
Or I'm polycystic ovarian disease, Mary. I mean, like, no, that's not how you introduce yourself.
Yeah. And so it's part of me. Yeah. It is part of what I cope with, just like being a redhead. You know, it's part of me.
I don't say, hi, I'm legally blind Kate. I mean, like, that's not what I say.
Because I mean, say, I'm glad to meet you. I'm legally blind Mary. And together we can wander the world. But there's so much about trying to fix everything. And, of course, I wear glasses, you wear contacts. We don't want to be legally blind. We want to fix what we can. There's nothing wrong with saying, well, my child has Down syndrome, so I'm going to try to, maximize his capabilities. That's okay.
Absolutely.
It's when people say, oh, your eyesight's bad, so we're not even going to bother getting you glasses. And this is why some diagnoses when children are young, it's so stupid and so ridiculous because my mother and father wore glasses. You know, I wear glasses, but when my brother was born, they didn't say, this one will probably have to wear glasses too. Do you want to keep him? You know, it's kind of silly.
Yeah,
really.
It is. And I'm really glad that was a really great way to encapsulate kind of what we're talking about here. So when people ask, well, what does awareness to acceptance mean? So acceptance is a step further. So when you talk about being aware of something, that's great. You're aware. And I'm going to use an example. We were just in Boston. Elliot had some medical stuff out there. And we met with a friend of ours who just got back from Italy. He's from Italy, and he's immigrating to the U.S. I asked him why, you know, he felt so drawn to Mr. Elliot. And he said, you know, I grew up, my best friend's brother had autism. And he said, individuals within the special needs community, he goes, they just really touched my heart. And he said, you know, and Elliot, he's my bud. They've known each other 3 years since we started. And he goes, but you know what's very strange, Kate? And I said, what? He said, we don't have individuals with Down syndrome in Italy.
He said, I don't know that I've ever seen an individual with Down syndrome in Italy. And to Mary's listeners, it was kind of funny because the other people at the table had already heard me speak on this. And so I smiled, and he kind of looked around, and he goes, what? And I said, well, your country has a very stringent prenatal testing policy, and all mothers are tested. And when I said, which, again, prenatal testing, I want everybody out here, do not get off this radio show and say Kate Doherty said there was anything wrong with prenatal testing. There isn't. However, if you receive a diagnosis of trisomy 21, it is automatic. Their recommendation is termination. And so he is correct. He's in his 30s, and there are not individuals with Down syndrome, very many of them, in Italy.
And yet that's a Catholic country.
Yes,
you just shocked me. I was going to say, I thought you were going to say they're put in an institution where they're, but you're right. I never see anybody with this. Well, think about that. Unfortunately, towards the end of World War II, you didn't see a lot of Jews in Germany either. You got to be careful.
So when we talk about awareness, awareness to acceptance, this is why I'm so excited for having Justin Moore in to kind of just give a voice. I mean, he's superstar. So, but the piece of this, it's great to be aware of something, but acceptance means accepting it. Like, there's not anything negative about this potential diagnosis. There isn't actually anything negative about human life or the human life experience. And you can say, no, there's no well but. We just met an awesome guy at Mayo Clinic. He was a Vietnam vet. He's lost both of his legs. Elliot thought he was super cool because he had on the running. He's a runner.
Yeah,
he had on the bionic running legs. I mean, he was super cool. Is he less than? Because no, he's not less than. But there are people who would say, oh, isn't that awful? No, what happened to him when he lost his legs was awful. His life is not something to be diminished or less than, and that's what acceptance is, and that's why Justin Moore is coming to the tri-state area October 9th.
Okay. We'll talk more about it in weeks to come, October 9th. You can get your tickets at upatdowncountry.com. It's at Rockin' Arena in Palmyra on October 9th. And remember, of course, be careful what you say to people when their kid's born. Every child is loved, and every child has abilities, and Elliot has things that he can do that other kids can't do, and other kids have things they do that Elliot can't do, but we're all in this together, and we're all going to make it. Thank you.